Will. I want to read a verse of scripture. One verse of scripture will be in Acts. Chapter 4, I believe it is. Acts chapter 4. Be reading maybe one or two verses there. Don't know, but the Lord leads. But I tell you, this evening, we got a downpour. And we had rumbling. And I'll be honest with you, of all the storms that I've heard and everything, I've never heard the sound the way it sounded today. And I believe we're eventually going to end up hearing, and we're going to end up hearing rumbles and stuff like that. And I believe the reason for that is because of things that's happening. I think God Himself is trying to wake up some of the churches. But a whole lot of churches has already woke up. But you know, it's when you're in a city and a county when it's a little over 200 churches within the city of Danville and Pennsylvania County, which would be the Ringgold area. It would be Chatham, it would be Gretna, and Hurt, and all of that. With all of that, it's over 200 churches in an area. And yes, and we have some Baptist churches. We have some fundamental independent Baptist churches. Supposed to stand for something. Supposed to stand on God's word. And we have some other churches that they have in the past stood on God's word. Now, don't get me wrong. The only thing that's different between the independent fundamental Baptist church and the Southern Baptist church is that the Southern Baptist is basically the same thing, because they are pulled out, where the independent church, they pulled out of the Southern Baptist years ago. Now, we still have some Southern Baptist churches that are still faithful to the word. They don't send support to the organization or wherever they at. But the thing about now is now that what they're doing now, they're getting away from doing that. And when they do, they're going their own way. Now, like the Southern Baptist that's out of Richmond, the convention that where the whatever it is, the convention or whatever it is, that's out of Richmond, Virginia, they're about as liberal as they can get. They don't care who they have up there preaching, as long as they got somebody up there. They don't make no difference to them if they are a female or male or divorcee or whatever. And they're getting to the point now that they really don't care about the if it's the homosexuals or not. And I'm not gonna dwell on that tonight. But I'm just telling you some things that we need to be looking for. And I was with Brother James here. It's probably been 6-8 months ago. Now, Wiz out. And I think it was either Walmart or somewhere, Lowe's or somewhere like that. I think it was Walmart because I think he was going in to get his medicine refilled. And a couple come up to him. They went to this particular church. Supposed to be an independent fundamental Baptist church. Preach the King James Bible. And he was talking to James, and she was too, and they was asking him about the preacher. This is what Brother James says. Brother James says, well, I'm not going to say anything about the preacher. If he's your pastor, then you know what he believes in. They said, yeah, we do. So they went on and they asked Brother James about it. And they asked Brother James this. They said, Brother James, I want to ask you something. Says, our pastor, he sneaks it in every now and then. The way he don't believe in eternal security. That he believes that you can be lost today. And you have to get saved again. And the gentleman asked Brother James this. He says, I want to ask you something. He says, if that's the case then, how does he know when he's in that pulpit? Behind that desk, reading God's word and preaching about the word of God. How can he honestly sit up and say that he knows he's saved or if he's lost? He says, am I going to go and visit somebody or go to a church somebody that I don't know and that they don't believe in the Bible? That they can't trust the same God that saved them? And James told them at the end of it, he said, well, I know him. I won't say anything against him. But I just want to let you know, you're right. That's what he does believe. He don't believe in eternal security. And I said, and me and Brother James got back in the car. I said, I don't understand that. I says, how in the world can anybody say that they love God, but yet they don't believe that God can keep them saved? Brother James says, I don't either. He says, if that was the case, then I don't think that the Holy Spirit would have spoke to John and asked John to pin down in the book, the first book of John, and the first chapter, in the 9th verse, or 7th, 8th, and 9th verse there. He said, I don't believe that we could have references in God's word that can show us That all we have to do is come back and do and repent and ask God forgiveness for our sin. That's the only thing he's asking forgiveness for. James says, that's the way our fundamental independent Baptist churches are getting. He says, they're getting to the point now, you don't believe, you don't know what they're going to believe. And I know what I believe. I know what I stand on. I believe in the King James Bible. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe once heaven bound, you're going to always be heaven bound. But I also believe too that if you fall out of love with God and you get away from his word and you don't come back to him, he's not going to leave you around here long enough to destroy his name. Because we, the Christian, we're the only ones that's going to destroy the name of God. The people out here that's in the world that's lost, they're not doing it. They're doing exactly what our master is teaching them to do. But are we doing what our master teaches us to do? I hope and pray we are. I hope and pray that I am. But if not, I'll say this, that I'm going to have to stand before God and I'm going to have to give an answer for every idle word that I've ever spoken. I'm going to have to give him an answer for every unspoken word that I even thought about. You're not going to have to give an answer for me. And I'm not going to have to give an answer for you. That's going to be left up to the individual. So we need to get away from, and I'm saying this tonight because I believe that maybe in the past that I've done it. And I've asked the Lord to help me with it. For me not to be caught up in the things that they want to do. I'm like, in a way, like Brother J.D. Walker. I wished I had the energy that Brother J.D. Walker's got. If we just had a tenth of his energy just to pass it around to each one of us, then all of us would have more energy than what we got now. But he's got the energy. And his wife says that he's like that. From the time he wakes up in the morning to the time he goes to bed, and he's like it 7 days a week. He said, she was telling me some of this outside one night. And she says, you need to know him before the Lord ever got a hold of him. What he said, it was really kind of on the light side of what he was really like. But he said he was a drug addict, said he snorted, put the stuff up his nose. He'd done the needles under his fingernails and his toenails. He'd done it all. He was a drunk. She says, when he says that, he's not putting on. And it says that once God saved him, And once God put God's love in his heart, she says, he's been like that ever since. She says, I can't even keep up with him. And she did tell me the same thing he told me. She said she could be in Walmart or somewhere walking around in that shopping, and JD be out here talking to somebody else. And the next thing you know, about 30 or 45 minutes later, here you go, somebody to holler out, "Daddy!" Said he'd holler that loud like that. And everybody would turn around and look at him like, "What in the world?" And he says, he ain't never seen so many Debbies in his life. But she knew who it was calling. So she went the way he would. I wished I had that type, kind of energy. I really do. I really wished I had that, so a little portion of that type of energy. I really do. Because he don't meet a stranger. And I knew another missionary the same way. He never meet a stranger. And he was, I don't think he had quite as much energy as Brother JD's got. But he's got some energy also. And he'll go in, and if you take him out to eat, or you take him somewhere or something like that, and before he goes inside, if he sees somebody out there, he's gonna go and meet them. He's gonna talk to them. He's gonna tell them how to get saved before he leaves them. But it says right here, and I'm gonna get off of that now. But here it says in Acts chapter 4. In verse 12, neither is thy salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I'll tell you what, there's not another name that I can mention of that I can go outside of these doors right here, and I can go down right here, or I can go to the mall, and I can stand, and I can still holler at my wife, Shelby, or Debbie, or something like that. All I got to do just, if you want to see people, see the noise quieting down, you raise your voice to the point that where you can just speak it out, where everyone understands it. And it's not but one name. And that name is Jesus. If you speak out that name, Jesus, people's going to stop. They're going to wonder where it come from. But we don't hear people anymore. We don't hear people anymore saying, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." Why don't we? Ain't we got something to thank him for? I got more to thank him for today than what I had yesterday. I mean, he allowed me to get up today and to come to a fine church, and to meet with some fine people here, and to preach, stand up here and read the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to take it and use it for His honor and His glory. I just want to come in here one day and just praise Him. And I know, I don't want you to think about that it's going temporary. I'm not talking about the temporary music. I'm not going to that way, that contemporary music, to where they sing a song up here and
and they sing one verse. And then the next 15 to 20 minutes, they're going to repeat it 11 or 12 or 15 times. I don't understand these churches, these great big churches I hear now, that has the pews full. They can't afford to buy hymnals, but yet they can afford to buy and pay over $100,000 for grabbing a widescreen up there when it has the very verse up there and you sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. And read it and sing the first verse. Why don't they just take the thing down and tell the people, say, we're going to sing one verse. And then after that, we're going to repeat the rest of them. We're going to repeat it 15 times. You don't need no. I mean, that's foolish. What? But you know the reason they do? So they want to support missionaries. They'll support missionaries. You know who supports the missionaries? It's out in the fields. The small churches. The small churches. Now I know it's some churches out here that supports missionaries. It's got probably maybe 150 or 200 people in it. Yeah, they support them. But I'm talking about, what about the ones that's got the that takes up $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 every Sunday? Do they support them? I don't know. I doubt it. But there's one that I know of that on Sunday morning they run over 4,000 individuals on Sunday morning. And they have as many on the bus coming to for Sunday school than what the tabernacle has got done out on Sunday morning. Just on the buses. Does he support missionaries? Yes, he does. Somebody told me the last count that he heard and said, and the pastor of the church says he's not bragging. He's giving God all the honor and all the glory for it. It's nothing what he has done. It's all what God has done. And that church is down here in Walkertown. Walkertown, down here in North Carolina. It's not that far. Gospel Light Baptist Church. Brother Robinson. They say within 1 year, 12 months, year, that they have to set up a budget once a year. The first budget that they speak about is not the pastor. Or it's not about this or that. It's about missionaries. You know what they give to the missionaries? 20% of what they take in for the year. And I went to a revival. Well, it wasn't a revival, but it was one of our conferences that they had down there. This has been 4 or 5 years ago now, me and Brother James went down there. And they had up on the bulletin board. And I, you know, and the bulletin board was back away. You don't notice it, not really. You can't hardly see it. But where we were sitting at, it was on that side. Well, the pulpit and the choir was
back there, and it was up on that corner. Well, me and Brother James was sitting, was somewhere about right in this area. And Brother James says, look at what they took in today. That was Sunday. This was Monday night we was up there. Sunday, they took in $32,000 and a few cents. Sunday morning and Sunday night was $32,000. Now, you take 20% of that, that's a pretty good chunk of change that goes out to missionaries. But not only he don't just support missionaries, but he helps the down and out. He helps the small church. Is about ready to close up. Because he's got preachers in his church. Probably 50 or 60, maybe 100 preachers in the church. I don't know. But if he hears of a church that's looking for a pastor somewhere, if it's 100 miles away, he paid for the transportation there and back to the home, the church wheel. That's what I call truly a New Testament church. That don't have self involved in it. It's not no Laodicean church age either. Like I said this past week, what does a Laodicean mean? It means the people. The people's church. This is not our church. Nobody has no deed to it. I don't know if he have or not. But nobody right here can say that this is your church. You can't. Because it's not. Yes, I'm the under shepherd here. I'm the pastor here, but it's not, still not my church. I'm just here because that's where God wants me. You are here. This is because God wants you here. It's not your church. It's not mine. It's not the people's church. It's God's church. It's God's church because God is always welcome in his church. God is always welcome here. If God's not welcome here, then I'm not welcome. The Son of God, he is welcome here. If he's not welcome here, I'm not welcome here. The Holy Ghost of God, he's welcome here at every service. And if he's not welcome here, I'm not welcome. We have got to have unity within the church frame itself. But the people has got unity together, which will bring about
true fellowship. It'll bring about salvation to the ones that come in because they can sense something. That yes, they've been into other churches. And they don't sense it in the other churches. That's when our spirit can bear witness with their spirit. Have you ever been somewhere? Have you ever met up with somebody? And you could tell something was wrong? That your spirit and their spirit would not bear witness. You knew something was wrong. Something was out of kilter there. Why? Because they don't believe in the same one that I believe in. But we have a whole lot of people out here that I believe that's saved. I believe that they've been saved by the grace of God. I really do. But they have been hurt in church. And they've got away from church. I'll tell you what. You take a Christian, and if they ever get hurt in a church, and if they ever leave that church, it's hard to get them back. Real hard to get them back. And they'll never be happy if you go to some other church. They'll never be truly happy. Why? Because they left where they were supposed to be at. We're not supposed to leave because somebody hurt my feelings. I'm not supposed to say, well, I'm going to just give up and quit because don't seem like the people that I want to do anything. You know, I've been out a little year now. Got the same number of people coming. I'm not supposed to come here on your feelings about me. He's the one I'm supposed to please. He has never hurt my feelings. He has never tapped me on the shoulder and said, you self-righteous individual. No. I'm supposed to please Him. And as long as I please God, then I'm happy. Yes, I want to please the people also. I want you to be happy with me. I want you to be happy with the messages that I bring forth. I want you to be happy about that you're willing to go out. But it's not about that. It's about, is He happy with me? Is He happy with the decisions that I've made? Is He happy? If He's not happy, just like I said a little while ago, remove me. If I'm a hindrance here at this church, all God has to say is, you need to move on. See, God has never spoken to me like that. I can't understand some people when they're in church and when they doing the Lord's will and they're Christians and they're doing what that
they love to do. And then all of a sudden, something will happen. And the next thing you know, they'll miss a Sunday. They'll miss Saturday night or Wednesday night. Then the next thing you know, they're here this Sunday. Maybe next Sunday they'll miss. And the next Sunday they may be here. Well, see, every time they miss, it don't take but one time for them to miss. And once they miss one time, they're headed away from the church. They're headed away from the church. We don't need to have that. We need to have it where people can come in and they can enjoy the things of God. Because you cannot go out here in the world anymore and enjoy the things of God. Why? Because you have too many people out here that's going to be on your back. They're on your back at the place of businesses where you work at. And you can go in and you can purchase an item at a place and all of that. And they're on your back. You know, up at the hospital now, you can't even, when you go to the hospital, you can't even carry tracts with you and give them a mite anymore. You can't even give them to your patient, the one that's there from your church, or for somebody that you're visiting, a family member from a church. Because they don't want it. The leaders there says no, says you invading them their privacy. Well, what are they doing? What's the government doing? They're invading on my privacy every day during the week. And I'm not invading on the privacy. I'm trying to help them. I think what we need to do, we need to have a flashing sign out front. Says if you're hurting, the emergency room is open. Have an arrow pointed right up here. The emergency room is open, and when they come in, I'm not going to give them no drugs. I'm not going to give them no shot. Pray for them. We'll witness to them and talk to them about the Lord. And let them know that Jesus loves them. In the same shape that they are in, Jesus still loves them. Because that's who he went and died for. Because you know, it could be me. I could be that drug addict guy here on the street. I could be that drunkard. I hear he's going to have to stay up and stay under the bridge tonight. But God knew exactly where I was at. And he showed up at the right time. God is always on time. He's never too early. And he sure ain't too late. He's always right on time. The name Jesus needs to mean something. I can look in the paper, and I know you have too, in the obituary columns in different places, and where people, whether the wives, they give a birth to a child,
And then they have the mother's name, and then they have the father's name. And the majority of the time, they're not married this day and time anyhow. But they give the name of the father of the child. Have you seen so many where their name is Jesus? See, they call it something else. But it's spelled the same way as the one that I serve. I don't serve them. I serve him. I serve the only Jesus, the only one. He's the one that created me from the dust of this earth. He's either going to carry me back home in the air, or he's going to raise me back up from the dust of the earth. I meet the body and go home and be with him. Hey, this thing is real. It's nothing to be playing around. You know what we're doing? We're playing with people's lives. We're playing with people's lives. We don't need to be playing with people's lives. That's just like handing each one of us a revolver. And we got six bullets. We got six bullets in there, but we take them all out of the chamber except for one. We'll spin it. And we'll point it. Russian roulette. Play it with people's lives. I don't know what more that anyone can do than what we need to do. That is, ask the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get in an automobile to go visit somebody, is to ask him. Say, Lord, I'm asking you now for you to be with me and the other individual that goes with me. This individual's home. And Lord, that you speak to the individual where we can have a good visit. You give me the words that needs to be said, and he'll give them to you. It may not be anything at all about the church, prayer, a Christian, a loving God at all. It could be something like that. Nothing at all about that. Just want to come by and say, I just thought I'd come by and just see how you're doing. See, the people that's like, and I got to quit, but the people I hear that we come in contact with daily, it's just like the people there at Roman Eagle, Riverside, and Piney Forest, and all these other places. They love to see people. They love to see somebody different come in. And I tell you what, if you think that you're going away and you're going to be a blessing to them, you're going to come to find out once you get back in your car that you failed. You failed. Because you want a blessing to them. They are more of a blessing to you. Because of the things that they will just say. I mean, all you have to do is smile. And I tell you what, if you take your son or your daughter or your grandchildren over there with you. I'm going to tell you what, now you're talking about, I mean, they eat them all up. You talk about they spoiled and you spoiled them. And you ain't spoiled them. The, I mean, they just, the eyes just light up. It's got a glow about them. It really does. Every time I go, I try to be a blessing to them. But every time I get in my car, I always tell God I'm sorry. I apologize. Because they were more of a blessing to me than I was to them. I mean, here it is.
An individual to quit high school, went through the 10th and the 10th grade. I didn't go through all the way through the 10th. I think it was the 10th and a half grade. But I quit school, went to work, didn't find out. Went back to school and got my GED. I ain't been but about maybe eight, nine years since got that. But for me to go over there and God allowed me, somebody that at one time was a nobody, but now, that nobody is serving somebody. And the people will come out of poor child. Some of them will come out blind. Some of them come and can't even see. Some come and can't even hear, can't even speak. You come out. To hear me. You understand that. I really don't. Why they can do that. But I thank God every day for it. With all his lessons. Each and every time I go back, they bless my soul. They bless my heart. They really do. Everyone stand, eyes closed, head back. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the rain that you've given us. And now, Lord, you just pray, God, that you'll be with us as we travel back home. Give us traveling grace at this time. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with each one that's going to be on the highway this evening, Father. And going back home. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they will have no interference with the rain or the flood or whatever that they may run into. We pray, God, that you'll just help them. And Father, yes, there's going to be many people today traveling to come back home. And Father, that's been gone for the holidays. And Lord Jesus, we ask God now, since they've come back home from the holidays, Lord, that where they was at, that you've already spoken in our heart, that they need to get back in the house of God. And Father, for that sinner, that lost soul, Father, we ask, Lord, that you'll send somebody their way that would just be a friend to them. And Father, and
we'll love them unconditionally like you loved us unconditionally. And Father, we need to be a true friend to them. We don't need to just be a friend and then go back and tell other people about what they said to us or nothing. No, we need to keep it to ourselves. We need to be a friend. And Father, thank you for these people. The Lord that you've allowed me to be a part of and a part of this fellowship. Father, I love each and every one of them. And God, I pray, Father, that you will help, continue to help me, that I can be the best pastor that you have in your fold. And Father, I know it's tough this day and time, but it's not tough when we have you on our side. Father, we do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.